That's completely out of time my side, and I'm totally including that. Welcome to episode 12 of Where Do We Go From Here? All about the coronavirus pandemic, where no outtakes are cut. You get to hear all of it.
Oh,
all
wow.
of the warts, all of the mistakes. They will be in here, as I'm sure you heard in our last episode. Today, I'm welcoming... I can't even talk. What's this morning? We are welcoming Spud and Jack to my greatest pals, Spud and Jack. Welcome.
Woo!
Hello.
Yeah!
Bonjour.
Bonjour, indeed. Now, we are all based in the UK, just in case that introduction confused you fellow listeners out there. And we're chatting about how we have dealt with this whole year. Good luck remembering all the way back. So let's head over to the Spud corner, the potato corner.
Hello.
And just say, hey, how are you? And tell us about what you do.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I am Spud Smith. I'm a freelance bassist and arranger. I guess I do a couple of other things as well, but mainly
fingers in all the pies.
Yeah, 20 fingers and toes in all the pies I can get my fingers and toes in. which is funny because actually later on I have a question about pies, so...
Ooh, don't give the game away.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
Ooh. No, you're all good. All right, it'll keep people listening.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, that's basically what I do. I'm a bass player and an arranger. And
let me say, those choir pieces.
Oh, thanks. yeah, a nice non-verbal hand signal there for the listeners.
People know. Anyone who's listened to like 10 seconds of me talking knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. It's
De Niro face and the okay symbol.
yeah. And Spud... No, we've just gone to Spud. Jack. It's going to be a good episode all round. Jack, tell us about yourself, please.
Hi, guys. I'm Jack Summerfield. I'm a drummer. Yeah, that's about it. I hit things for a living.
Simple and to the point. Drummer supreme right there. All right. So today we're going to be chatting about our journey through COVID-19. So talk to me, boys, and you can fight over who goes first. You know, what happened when that lockdown was introduced? You know, what happened for you? Did anything change dramatically? Was it sort of slow? Talk me through it.
Let's not both go at the same time.
I was trying to be polite.
I don't know, really. It all just seemed to happen. Sort of end of February hit. I'd unfortunately lost my uncle at the time. And then next thing you know, we get the announcement to be like, okay, well, we've got to go into lockdown. Okay, great. Let's see what happens. You know, you're trying to deal with one loss and then all of a sudden it's... You're just diving straight into instantly not being able to see any of your friends and family. Mm. I was fortunate enough to be able to move home with my parents, so I had the company there, which was nice. As I'm sure anyone listening would be aware that, you know, it's not the best scenario when you get three adults trying to live together. But it was nice, you know, get that quality time with them, which I haven't had in years. So the silver lining for me was that. But
yeah, so... March, you'd moved back, and I'm sorry to hear about your uncle there, so...
It happens.
I hope you at least got the chance to mourn with family rather than being separated and things like that. So I'm glad you got the chance to be with them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's the nicest thing I've ever said to you and ever will say to you, Jack.
I'll write it down.
See, there is a friendship there somewhere.
It's recorded, dude. It's recorded. for the world to hear. So, yeah, I think a lot of people have experienced that moving home. Now, what's the funnest moment of lockdown with three adults under the same roof? You know, funnest or worst, you know, share as you will.
That is a loaded question.
I've played a lot of Bananagrams, which has been wonderful.
Mate, you
Your
slay
vocabulary has expanded, I must
yeah.
admit.
It's a you really fun game. I will not apologise for how fun Bananagrams is.
Could your vocabulary get any larger than it already is?
we had a chat euphemism? Yesterday, me and Spud had a chat, and you used the word, was it zeitgeist? I was like, yeah. Oh, yes!
I don't understand how that's not a common usage word. Like
he sent that to me in a message the other day, and I was like, I genuinely had to sit there and be like, hey, Siri, define this.
I would have to, like... Because I do this sometimes, but I would have to purposefully intend to put that word in my day.
Am I, like, slightly less posh Stephen Fry? Is that what's happening? but I just accidentally use really posh words.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Anyway, now we're in the Spud corner. Talk me through what happened for you, Spud. Was it a sudden cut or was it a bit more gradual? Or?
Yeah, no, it was a complete sudden cut. It was... I will just preface all of this, by the way, by saying that I have the worst memory ever. So I will try and remember as best I can. But my memory of it is that I was gigging right up until lockdown was announced. And yeah, I was just really busy working. And then a couple of things happened in my personal life to put things off the rails. And then the lockdown was announced and I was like, oh, like 90% of my income has just completely vanished overnight. Like, I think the last gig I did was 3 days before the lockdown or something. So it was really, really like sudden.
That's cutting it close.
Yeah.
We had one girl who was on stage when lockdown was announced, which was just wow.
Yeah.
And they were just sort of like,
do we go home?
Yeah. Well, is this end?
Do we finish the set?
Yeah. Could you imagine? Just like,
and their last song is the last song is "The Show Must Go On" or something.
The show must go. Oh, I'm glad I got that one.
Or it's "Don't Stand So Close to Me" by The Police.
Newfound love for that song.
But yeah, I actually had advanced warning that it was coming, to be honest, because one of my sisters lives in the US, and until very recently she used to work in the news, so she was seeing all of this stuff unravelling in the newsroom before the public knew about it. So she basically gave us a call one day and was like, look, this thing is coming from China, you guys need to prepare. And we were like, oh yeah, whatever, it'll probably be fine, it's in China. And she was like, no, seriously, the whole world is going to lock down, believe me. And there, you know, there you go. A month later, she was right.
And you told no one?
No, I told everyone. I told you.
He did tell us, Jack. We just did the same thing. We went, nah. Well, it's something
because,
that
to
is
be
completely...
honest, when you think about it in an abstract sense, who the hell would think that that was a real possibility, that the entire world would just completely grind to a halt?
Yeah, it's been such an out there experience. Like, before this, I don't think I could have imagined it happening.
Yeah.
Like someone saying to me, oh, you can't go visit your family. What? What,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even imagine it. And now I'm like...
And if you see someone on the street, you have to step aside and like...
I do that anyway because I'm an antisocial human. Like, I just don't like people.
I just think...
No, I love people. People like me.
It's completely changed all social discourse. Like, people have just... change the way they think about, oh, a person's coming down the road, I need to get out of their way.
Or like, I mean, you say that.
Manners.
Oxford Street around the Christmas shopping period, they did not get out of your way. I still experienced just as many barge and runs.
Oh,
it's like
great.
A hit and run, but slightly less aggressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a very sudden, like, shutdown. So how did you guys get through that lockdown? We'll go back to Jack over there first. Did you run in a summery field?
Badumts. I think for me, the big thing that got me through it was definitely the weather. That first lockdown, having such a good time of year. You know, the ability to still go out for a walk every day and just get some fresh air and good weather, be out in shorts. It was definitely... I don't know about you guys, I love extreme sets of weather. So if you're out in the sun, you're in shorts and flip-flops, perfect. If it's snowing and you're freezing cold, perfect. Anything in between, I hate.
What a good thing that you live in a country where most of the time it's in between.
And you get all of it in one day, you know?
Yeah.
But so
you've
have
got a garden that's like really nice for enjoying the nice weather, so...
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't... in here with music, then I'd just be in the garden laying on the grass listening to more music.
I have to say, that summer, my thoughts really turned to everybody who lives in flats and doesn't have a garden.
Yeah, I was very lucky at that time. I had a big garden at the back of my shared house I was living in. Now I do not. I have that balcony where you can put like a tic-tac on it and that it'd be full.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very lucky and I lived right by like Wimbledon Park and so... It was just easy and I had loads of space around me. I do really not worry for, because obviously they're okay, but at the time I think I worried for them, and I was like, yeah. Oh, that must be a tough one when things were a lot stricter. I don't think I can actually imagine back to that time where it was like you can go outside once. If you go outside twice, shame on you.
Yeah, I think the one thing that this pandemic has done for people is really make them appreciate nature. Like, people suddenly realised how much they need trees and parks and bushes and things to make them feel like they're not just surrounded by concrete all the time. Because it's for your mental health, it's just so important to have nature around you.
Yeah, I think lots of people have had revelations with their mental health, big or small.
Yeah.
Now, Spud, your sort of journey through that first phase of lockdown before we started opening, how was it? In as much or as little detail as you like?
It was really tough in terms of mental health. Like, I crashed a lot, but to be honest, the majority of that was just because of bad timing. Like, I had been through a lot of stuff in my personal life just prior to the lockdown happening, and it was just the timing from hell, so it sort of all combined. And so the first two lockdowns were really hard for me, and Jack and I basically supported each other throughout that whole time. So I, you know, I would have been much worse off if it wasn't for him, to be honest. So publicly, Jack, I'd love to thank you for that.
Publicly, oh, to my one listener, which is my mother. No, I am grateful for all my listeners out there. Hi, Alice's mum. Wait, that's my mum. Hi, my mum. Hi, mum. Hi, mum.
Yeah. So
well,
it was just like, you know, living day to day, to be honest, just trying to like get up, have a shower, you know, all the sort of stuff that you do when you're depressed, it just becomes magnified. So like getting out of bed is a massive deal, but you just shrink your goals down to achievable things. And then worrying about money came second, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it certainly had,
which is,
to,
you know, that's a very privileged thing to be able to say.
But
it was,
if you
true.
Can do it,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's the same with like, yes, some certain things are privileged, but if you can and it doesn't harm someone else, I would definitely say, well, wouldn't anyone?
Yeah, if you don't, yeah, if you don't have your mind, you don't really have anything. So
yeah, so need that, because then you need your mind to count your money
or yeah.
count the money you don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, and this is going to be a hard-hitting question, guys. How many gigs do you think have been cancelled for you?
Does this include the ones that have been rescheduled and rescheduled and rescheduled?
Yes, of course it includes that. How many gigs would you say, since the start of this pandemic, do you think you have lost?
Well, above 100.
Yeah, I was going to say, because my agency have been fantastic over this time, and they've managed to move most of them, so we haven't actually lost them. But in terms of, you know, when I would have done them, every gig, obviously, like
every single one,
that's probably, you know, 70 to 100 gigs at least.
Yeah. And then it's also all the like opportunities to network with other musicians that went. So I certainly felt, as my career had started to sort of rise, I was like, oh, I'd be getting somewhere.
Yeah.
It's then like, yeah. No, you don't.
I think the worst thing about losing out on gigs isn't really the money side of it. It's losing out on the fact that as a musician, your career is a very social career. You show up to the club or restaurant or bar or whatever it is you're playing in, and you get to sort of set up with people and chat while you're setting up, and you get to hang out and have a drink and play together, which is very social. And then afterwards you're packing down and you're chatting, and then you're helping each other load the cars, and there's a whole sort of social element to it which has just been lost.
Well, and the job itself, I'm sure Jack will agree, is, you know, it's about interaction. You can't play through a song not looking at each other. It'd be really boring.
I definitely found it hard hitting for me, almost losing the reason I get up every day. You know, to get up and play and have fun with my mates. You know, losing that was probably the hardest part, because it was, you know, you're just gone. You've gone from doing that every working day of your life to not, you know. The motivation to get up and practice was there. It comes and goes. mostly gone.
I found my motivation came and went. So like one day I'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna practice, and then the next day I'd be like, why bother?
Yeah. Practice
what
became,
am I practicing for?
Practice became replaced by quizzes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, to the point now this lockdown we're like, oh, quiz.
No more quizzes.
I'll tell you what though, you get the musician population in a pub quiz and we'd own it. Like that's our game now.
Do you know what's funny? In a pub quiz, the music round is my worst round.
Oh, mine too.
Absolutely.
Because I don't listen to anything past 1990-something.
Also, like, especially if they are using quite generic songs or, like, pop songs or function songs or whatever, like, the first two bars, unless it's, like, Walking on Sunshine or something really obvious, you're like, well, it could be 30 songs.
Yeah. Because they're all the
okay.
same.
It goes... Which one is it?
Yeah. My first Billie instinct
Jean.
Is Billie Jean.
You think Billie Jean, yeah? Yes. I mean, levels of
nice
it, but you know what I mean.
By the way, most people don't have the balls to beatbox in front of a drummer.
Also, since I've never beatboxed before, that was you heard it first.
Boots and cats. Work on it. That's the trick.
Boots and cats. Yeah, it's not professional level. That's not my job. Jack. So going through the ups and downs and the ins and outs of lockdown. Talk me through your journey. Did you have fun with that? Did you notice it? You know,
did I have fun with the ups
did you
and downs?
Did you have a great time?
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Just imagining little party poppers like
well, for the split seconds that they occur. No, honestly, it was tough. Going through some large depressive episodes, and obviously having you guys there to help me through that I'm unfathomably grateful. It goes without saying.
Team pals.
You know, I've got a couple of the best friends that I could ask for in you. So,
no.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If you put all of our initials
publicly
together,
on the record,
it spells SAG. It's like a sad sandwich.
I love how Jack is like pouring out his heart and you're just like, our initials spell SAG.
Well, I was accepting it, but you know. I accept,
in Alice's
I accept
way.
Your
it
happiness.
Very nearly spells jazz if you want that.
Jazz. What a beeline.
Sorry, carry on.
No,
it was
right.
hard. Yep.
Yeah, it was. We'll move on from this.
Nice
stuff.
One, Alice.
It was tough. But there was also a lot of good times that came with it. The sort of realizing the bad state you're in and then having nowhere to go but up and putting my priorities back in order of life and what I wanted to achieve. You know, moving out and getting the house. Started practicing again. Thank you, Spud, very kindly for the Tommy Igo stuff. I really appreciate it. I do use it every day still. It is part of my everyday ritual, is just to do that lifetime warm-up, and it is made such a difference to my playing.
Wait,
and
explain
just my
it
mental
to me.
State. Huh?
Explain this to me. I've not heard of this.
So there's a session drummer called Tommy Igo, who is just a wonderful, wonderful human.
You'll relate to him, Alice, because he came up with the drum parts for the Lion King musical.
I need it now. I just can't wait to just listen to the drum parts and be like, the amount of times I've sung that, honestly.
But yeah, so he's got this thing called the Lifetime Warm-Up, which is, it just goes through every possible drum rudiment in a specific order to help you warm your hands up, and doing it every day, it's just created so much more flexibility within my playing and more comfort. It's made me go back and really analyze my levels of technique and what needs to be improved.
Ah, so you can play now.
Oh, I didn't say that. I'm still working on it.
I'm kidding. Jack's great.
This is your friendship in a nutshell, isn't it?
It really is. I only got the invite so she could be mean to me.
Yeah.
Publicly
record it for posterity.
Yeah.
It's been too long, that's why.
Yeah, I must say I did so genuinely appreciate those barbecues we did in the summer. So that lifting of lockdown was an absolute godsend, and it sucked that whole sort of period of time had to end.
Yeah, we did a sort of summer movie thing with a projector in the garden, which
was wicked,
lovely,
man.
And then shortly after that, lockdown was reinstated and we all just went, ugh.
Ah, crap.
Yeah, life started to feel like normal again, and then, nope.
Yeah, that's so bad. I must admit, I really feel that those periods of like freedom don't feel like normal anymore.
Yeah, they feel like a nice
lockdown
treat.
Feels normal.
I think it's, but also those little islands of hope in the middle of these lockdowns have been what's allowed me to keep going through three of them, because if we had had one long lockdown this entire time, I think I may have gone crazy.
Gone?
Crazier. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did not do well with the sort of the yo-yo. What have you done?
I just hit my hand on the microphone and it really hurt.
Stop punching microphones. Sad.
That microphone did nothing to you.
You sure about that?
Well, I hope it didn't. Anyway, I did not appreciate the up and downs of lockdown from sort of October onwards. That really messed with me. Spent 90% of my time rescheduling a calendar that didn't get used because everything was on, off. And I think that was probably, as much as lockdown sucked, that was probably a lot harder for me.
Yeah, I think 90% of my working life had just become answering emails that were just like, this gig has been moved, this gig has been moved, you know, are we still able to do this? Are we still able to do that? And it was just, it became an office job where my job was answering emails. Like, I mean, you guys know being a musician is, there's a lot of emails anyway. But normally it's like on your phone after you've got to a gig or just before you're about to head out on a drive.
Yeah, so or you if can... it's non-important, you just set an admin morning. You're like, okay, this morning I will answer these emails. Yeah. Done.
But for it to be like every day, you suddenly get a taste of what it's like to be quote-unquote normal. Which is not why any of us became musicians or creatives.
Normal for an hour a day.
Well, you get what I mean.
A few emails. Like, I know, I 100% agree, but like I'm in the same page as Alice would say. Like, I'd set a day each week to sit down and go through all my emails, and that was it. It'd be done. I wouldn't have to worry about it until
I'm one of those people where if the notification goes off, I've got to deal with it right now.
Well, I'll see it.
See,
if it's
that.
Like reply in 48 hours, be like, okay, I'll do that now. But it does depend on the level of the email.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, zero importance?
Well, if it's from you, yes.
I think you guys are only allowed to be nice to each other once a year, and you've just spent that.
We have spent that.
Yeah. Once a year?
That's just how your friendship works.
It's whenever the moon is full.
That's too frequent, man. I'm not doing that. I'm not committing to that kind of kindness. So now we are in lockdown numero three. And as much as there were little islands of... Is it three or four now? I don't even know.
I think it's three.
I thought it was four.
Four? I've lost track, man.
No.
What year is it?
It's three. We had that horrendous tier system where half of the country could see people and half of them couldn't.
Oh, yeah. That was what confused me, is that, the tier system.
Oh, yeah. Rather than declaring it a national lockdown, they just went, we'll just make it a tier five.
Well, to be honest, from the tier system to the next lockdown didn't change things for me. So.
Nothing changed for me.
Nothing changed. They just labelled it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, you can go to work. No, you can't. Okay, good.
So yeah. I'm going to sit at home in my pyjamas like I have done for the last year.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that is one thing that has definitely got better, my selection of PJs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're wearing them all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's your best pyjama set?
Oh, my Calvin Klein's.
Oh, for God's sake. Of course you have Calvin Klein pyjamas. Jesus.
They were on discount at TK Maxx.
Do you know what I've got? I've got a set of Snorlax pyjamas.
That's
and they
amazing.
Are the best things I have ever seen on Zoom with you. They are incredible.
That is amazing. Please send me an image of you wearing that so I can use it as like the advert header for this.
Actually, I have two of them. So yeah, I'll send you them.
Beautiful. Yeah, I just literally have like random pyjama bottoms. And then random tops. It's not even pyjamas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to sleep in what you're wearing.
Just like, oh, it's bedtime, is it? Haring. Yeah, so we...
My subtlety are calling random tops.
Ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha.
Two insults at the same time. That was so good.
Yeah, so we... In the third lockdown, which honestly, stop talking. Honestly, don't stop talking, please. It'd be a really boring podcast. which honestly has felt like just one big one. And now we are coming towards an end to locking down. What do we feel?
I feel it's going to be like, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing. Mm. I believe they're purporting that it's going to be sort of June time.
So yeah, that's
if it
kind
is, I'll be super happy.
That's the date they've given for full lifting, probably with a few masks here and there.
Mm.
Jack, are you feeling confident?
I'm hesitant.
Hesitant.
I'm hesitant, in all honesty, because going by what's happened before, you know, obviously we're going to have another wave. These things don't just stop.
Mm.
You know, plus the government sitting there relying on the general public to behave themselves. If you look at what's happened over the last two times we've tried to lift, it's not like it's going to actually happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we'll get
a slight lift
vaccine,
and then we're going to go straight back in. Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference.
Mm.
Well,
you know, if people are still out and about, or some people that if you get the vaccine, you then decide, oh, well, that means I'm good. You're going to go into town. That doesn't mean you're safe. You're still a danger to others.
Hmm.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Because it just means you don't get sick.
It requires everybody to be vaccinated.
Once everyone is vaccinated,
behave as it were.
Yeah, once everyone is vaccinated, it will give us a bit more sense of security at the very least, which will be nice.
I think I get where Jack's coming from. He means when people are vaccinated, they'll suddenly think they're invulnerable, so they don't need to distance anymore.
I'm free.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
it's like life isn't
going to
go back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee you further down the line, we're going to have another tier system or something like that put back in place.
Well, there are some people who think that it's going to be more like a flu thing where you just need a new corona vaccine every winter or something.
Yeah. But there's no way it's going to disappear. It's just going to keep evolving. It's like
so infectious. In terms of like work and they're lifting, because they're saying they're going to lift end of March and then middle of April. I don't know. I want it all to happen like to their schedule and be like, yeah, 21st of June, let's go to festivals. Like, let's have a great time. That voice doesn't sound so good when you don't see the actions I'm doing. I'm very dubious that things will all go to plan.
To me, it seems a little too convenient that it happens to be the 21st of June, the official start of summer.
I've seen this around
this
world. Yeah. It's
like, conspiracy theory, here we come.
No, I'm just, you know, it's just a little too perfect. It's just something about it smacks of just trying to raise national morale for the sake of it.
Well, because it's what you were saying the other day, it's the summer solstice, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's the official start of summertime, and it'll just make people feel way better to be free in the summer. If they had done the same thing in, like, you know, mid-December or whenever winter solstice is, people would have been like, oh, I don't want to go outside, it's horrible.
Well, they didn't do it for winter solstice. They tried to do it closer to Christmas, and that was when it all backfired. Because they were like, right, we'll try and open up for Christmas so that everyone gets their big family Christmases together.
But they only intended that to be a temporary opening, which was what the problem was.
Yeah, but everyone got a little bit too excited, went out, numbers went through the roof, and then we went back into a lockdown.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that week leading up to the Christmas thing, I saw so much traffic in my local area because we've got quite a few big shopping parks where I am. And I was just like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go home for Christmas because of the traffic. And then they were like, no one can go home. I was like, I just can't. Good. Okay, good. All right, fine. So I did the technically legal present run all the way down to my family and brought presents back.
Technically legal.
Well, it was legal because the rules hadn't been enforced. So
she was checking her eyesight.
Oh, here we go. Politically charged comments down there. Yes, I was checking my eyesight.
I think I got away with that one.
Yeah. It was quite a punch to the gut, for want of a better phrase, to be like, you're going home for Christmas. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got like family or grandparents, you haven't been allowed outside, and they got quite upset. I wouldn't say upset, because they're, you know, they're tough. they weren't chuffed by the old idea. Though the cutest thing happened, and I may have said this in another podcast, I did a live stream on Christmas Day, because I was like, no one can go outside, I haven't sung in a while, listen to me. and my granddad was watching, and apparently he just went, "Hello, Alice!" Aww. Not realising I had no idea.
Like, that you couldn't see him.
Yeah, because we had a video call earlier, and it was probably the first video call he'd ever had in his life. And he could see me, and we were talking. And then later in the day, Mum was like, "Oh, look, it's Alice." He's like, "Hi!"
Oh, bless him. That's so sweet.
Which made me very happy. I thought it was very sweet.
That reminds me of that. There's a meme about Skyping with the grandparents, and all you can see is the top of their foreheads because they don't realise where the camera is.
Always the way.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we introduced my granddad to WhatsApp video calls.
Mm-hmm.
That was during lockdown, so it was great. And he's sitting there. He picks up because he thinks he's answering a call, and he's looking at it. And he's just like, "I can see your face." "What are you doing on my phone?"
How'd you get in there?
how do I stop it? I just want to talk to you. So we're like, "You want to turn it?" So we're just like, "Okay, well, you tap the screen and you push the red button." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And then just hangs up.
So, in light of
and we still haven't spoken to him since.
Because he's still there going, "Hello? Hello?"
No, just every time he sees the call, he's just hanging up because he's like, "There's his answer. No. No. Jack, get off my phone." So, yeah, in light of being dubious of these lifting of restrictions, how do we feel about going forward as creatives and musicians? So answering the age-old, year-old question posed by this podcast, where do you think we're going to go from here, boys?
Forwards.
Yeah, I mean...
Nah, backwards.
I'm very much of the school of, like, there's no real point speculating. You just have to kind of take it as it comes, as it were. Like, because...
Mm-hmm.
Music is a, you know, and probably lots of other creative jobs, is an area where even if you make plans, things change, people cancel, gigs get rearranged or whatever, or you get calls that say, "I've got a gig in 20 minutes, it's 20 minutes away." You know?
Go.
Yeah. I've had that before as well, where I had a gig that was 40 minutes away in 40 minutes, and I just had to do it.
I've had those. Yeah.
So it being the industry it is, it's kind of a bit pointless to say, you know, "I think this and this and this and this is going to happen."
In general, because it's just unpredictable.
It's useful to try and, you know, plan contingencies and stuff. Like, I'm not saying don't prepare at all, but, like, only up to a point, because in any case, it's just a changeable career, so...
Completely, yeah. Jack, any thoughts?
I mean, I speak for everyone, I think, when I say I'd really like for live music to come back.
Absolutely.
But...
Can we just have that that quote in isolation where Jack says, I speak for everyone?
Yeah, should we become the spokesperson of, like, the MU or something?
No. It'd go downhill very quickly.
Sorry, I'm just chugging on an Actimel, as you do. And I thought it was a strawberry one. No. My boyfriend bought multi fruit.
Oh.
Was not.
Yeah,
the
face you pulled was like it was out of date.
Well, if you thought it was strawberry and it tasted like an orange, you'd think it was out of date too.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack, where were you?
It's all right. Interruption number two, but who's counting? Anyone? Did it just get cold in it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'd love for live music to come back, but whether that's in the case of becoming a DJ at a wedding rather than playing music with my mates,
yeah.
It's like Spud said, you kind of got to take it as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong possibility, I think, that live music from bands and artists will remain streamed for the majority until things like festivals come back, but you just don't know at this point.
I think there will be definitely increases in the streamed content or pre-recorded content. That kind of thing, I think, is gonna continue. It was already present in our world, but I think it's gonna become a bit more commonplace now that we know it works-ish. Though nothing's gonna replace, you know, living on a prayer at the end of the night when you're already shattered and your voice is like, "Nah, don't want to do it."
But let's be honest, most of the people who book us don't really think of us as people performing. They think of us as a live jukebox.
You are a machine.
They think of, yeah, they think of, do this song, do this song, you know. So to them, yeah, playing an iPod or what, iPod, listen to how old I am. Playing a, like a Spotify playlist,
not even
or whatever.
An iPod Touch.
Yeah. yeah, playing a playlist or whatever isn't really any different to them, I don't think. Of course, there are exceptions. There are clients who are genuinely music fans and they like live performance and stuff, but the overwhelming majority of wedding gigs that I do, it's people who don't really know we're there.
I don't know. I'm of mixed opinion with that, because, like, yes, I definitely get those weddings where they're like, we don't see you as people, you're just taking up half the room kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of weddings that do book us actually like having the interaction, you know, having some crazy front man, not me, I just sing and look kind of nice sometimes. You know, yeah.
Modesty.
I know, right? I'm beautiful. No, and not when I do that face. Jeez. Jack, move your expressions away from this chat. I think they genuinely enjoy having a front man being like, okay, everyone, sing!
Yeah.
And interacting in that way that you wouldn't get with a, you know, a DJ and an iPod. Is not that all DJs use iPods, sorry. DJs,
yeah, but to be fair, that's because they don't understand the DJs, because they're right on the mic with the gain turned up going... And you're like, what? Yeah, man.
I have seen examples of that, though. I'd like to... That is not all
with that
DJs.
That one backdrop with stars on it.
Oh, the LED star backdrop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Picnic table with a cloth over it.
Yeah, I think our
I'm sorry
industry...
to any DJs who are listening, this is really harsh.
It's not all of you, just the ones I've met. No. So,
coming
yeah
out of lockdown, I feel like Spud's going to be hunted and yeah killed by a group of DJs.
I won't give away your address to many people, don't worry. Yeah, so I think the industry is going to change, maybe because it has to, and also because we've seen developments. I think a huge part of music is networking, a huge part, not necessarily in a professional sense, you know, going down to the pub and having a chat.
Hi, here's my card.
That I have not given out a business card in like 4 years. Yeah. And that used to be commonplace.
I paid to have like 150 business cards and all of them are still here, like.
I've got a good old Vistaprint box,
yeah,
of, you know.
But as you
business
say, the last
cards
time you gave out a business card was like...
It was at ACM when our tutors said, you should give out business cards.
Yeah, and you probably gave it out to a fellow student.
Nah, just to my mum.
It's always handy to have, though, like the moment you need one.
I have them for the band.
It's always handy to have.
But not for me personally, because...
Mm. But yeah, the point I was getting to there, even though business cards, lol, was... That's all happening online, supposedly. I think there is a lot more acceptance of online community kind of thing. I don't know what you think. Jack, give us a whirl. See what you...
I think Vistaprint are going to start going into digital business cards.
I've heard of these these digital business cards, because I'm from way back in the 90s, you know. Yeah, I've heard of these being a thing. Like Linktree, obviously, they do their links and stuff. But digital business cards, not a bad idea, you know.
How would it work?
I have no idea. I haven't figured that out yet.
I guess it'd be like a QR code and you'd scan it and get all the links on socials. Yeah. Hey, patented. Don't take my
idea,
guys.
It was like one of those chain emails that old people send.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Chain emails are now a real thing.
Where it's just a gift.
I used to hate those. I absolutely hated those. If you do not send this on, your...
yeah, a serial killer will attack you and your family.
Yeah, you will get... You
that
will
went
suffer,
from 0 to 100 so quick.
That's what
yeah,
they used to be like.
You will suffer the same fate. You will be
or
attacked
like
in the street.
A 13-year-old ghost will come and haunt you forever or something.
Did you not get those chain mails, Jack?
No.
Were you ever on MySpace, or are you too much of a fetus to remember MySpace?
I was never on MySpace. I wasn't allowed the internet for a very long time.
Oh, God. I'm so much older than you guys.
No, it's more I wasn't allowed the internet.
Oh, okay. Fair
here
enough.
Is a development in technology, but not you, not you, you youthful person, full of hope, full of hope and desire to know things. You cannot have it.
Yeah.
So then, of course, when I got my hour of internet a day, I spent it doing pointless things like Googling how to build your own Pac-Man game and failing.
Wow.
You were cool.
That's an insight into Alice's past. I did not know.
Like
how
Pac-Man.
To build your own Pac-Man game.
I was trying so to,
can,
like,
we, can we go down this beeline for like
it doesn't go
minutes?
Very far.
Do you mean like out of real
code.
Things or just like
no,
coding?
I meant code it. Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't get very far. Because
Alice running around her garden like in a big yellow suit going, wah, 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 wah.
This is also something
the
I have done just without
a sheet.
Soup. No, that was just my sister. Tell you what, the funniest thing, like, I do love this is completely off topic, I don't care. That I loved having a sibling. One, because it was someone to hate. And two, because my fondest memory is when I asked her to find something at the back under my bed. So I was like, oh yeah, get right into the bed. And I had one of those cabin beds with the slidey doors. And so I was like, I can't reach. Like, you're small enough, you can get right to the back. And she's like, I can't see anything, it's dark. I'm like, yeah, further back. Shut her in there, ran downstairs. Me and my best friend ran down there. Emma, name dropping. You've been named. She's like, manages to escape, runs down, finds the plastic golf clubs and starts swinging them round, chasing us around the garden.
Wow.
In rage. It is my favourite memory ever.
That's a functional family right there.
did she ever land a hit?
No, because she, even though I know what
you're trying to look for explanations.
No, even though I shut her under the bed, she chased my friend around the garden with the golf club.
Oh my god.
It's a little fun thing there, which leads us kind of not at all into our next thing. So, boys, I asked you to create some questions for me for our next episode. I've decided now on the spot they're going to be two separate ones, otherwise, this would be a very long episode. Some questions for my participants. Now, you've given me the lists. If you have any more that have just come to your mind, I happily will accept them with the parameters I set, you know.
What were those again?
Nope, not going through them. But do voice to me your favourite ones. I'd like to give our listeners a little insight into what they're going to be listening out for.
Well, I've just come up with a new one, but it's a bit stupid.
I love stupid questions. Hit me.
Okay, the question would be, if you could be in a band with three cartoon characters, who would they be and why?
That's an amazing question.
And who would be on which instrument?
Ooh.
So say you had guitar, bass and drums, for example, who would be on each?
I'm writing that down.
Tasmanian Devil would be on tit. Absolutely.
Or the Incredible Hulk or something. He'd probably just smash the skins first hit.
Because I've written it in shorthand because I don't want, you know, my mic to just pick up.
Yeah.
I've literally written, if you could be in three cartoons band.
Nice.
That's...
Jessica Rabbit would be the singer.
No, if you were the singer.
Jess.
Oh, if I was a singer.
Yeah, you have to have a guitarist, a bassist and a drummer.
Oh.
And it can't be the fucking gorillas or something.
But that would be a great one.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. I'm going to stick with my one that I chose before. If you could be a cheese, what cheese would you be?
And what cheese would you be, Jack?
Camembert.
Camembert.
Is that because you want to find some bears?
Yeah.
You just like
no,
the
just
cheese.
I really fancy some camembert right now.
I have a camembert in the fridge. I bought it from Lidl. It's got a tomato sauce topping. Very
Ooh.
Excited. Very excited. Having
the
that
face
lunch.
That Jack's making right now. I wish you could all see it. Salivating.
Do it again. Do it again, Jack.
No. It was the
Do
face of just... You know that bit in Green Mile where Tom Hanks finally takes a piss? It's that face.
I can see it now. All right. Great questions from you guys. And you know what? I am actually going to do something I haven't warned you about. And I'm going to pick one of these questions at random and ask them to you.
Oh.
So... I really want to ask that one. Spud, seeing as you came up with this one, sing the whole of Bohemian Rhapsody, including all the backing parts and the guitar, as fast as humanly possible.
My God.
Go.
I thought this would happen. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Follow the fantasy. Escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. Poor boy. I'm of your sympathy. I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Anyway, the weird plots doesn't really matter to me. To me. Bling, 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 bling. Mama, just killed a man. For the guy that gets his head.
Getting into this.
Mama, life has just begun. Throw it all away, mama. Anyway, the wind blows, seems to make you cry. Carry on, carry on. Nothing really matters to me. Blah blah blah, bling bling, bling bling, bling bling, bling. Oh my God! Do I really have to keep going?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh shit. Okay. Too late. My time has come. I'm living all the time. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. Gonna leave it all behind and face the truth, mama. Ooh. Anyway. The wind blows, and I don't want to die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all. And then I can't remember the rest of the guitar solo. Holy shit. Oh, dear.
I'm going to crop just that. Oh, that's beautiful.
That can replace the theme tune right there.
Oh my god, it can!
We didn't get into the big fucking metal bit, you know, in Wayne's World where they all...
Oh, Jack, would you like to take it from there?
No.
Oh, yeah, and then it goes straight into the... I see a little silhouette of a man. Caramouche, caramouche, can you do the fandango? Thunderbolt of lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, 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 Galileo.
I think that is the bar set.
Fucking like, hell.
Well done.
Thank
I mean,
you
did a solid 2 minutes of vocalizing that, so I'm impressed.
That was really hard. I'm glad you didn't video it, because my face was just...
So was us reacting would have been hilarious.
Oh, man.
Singing the piano bits was my favourite part.
My favourite bit was the backing vocals. So, I'm faster where the wind blows. It was literally like you became the parts.
Yeah. It's just
beautiful.
It's what comes from being a voice actor where you have to change voices super quickly.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention you do that.
Well, I said Spock I do other things, but yeah.
Well, there's one of them.
Yeah. But to be honest, if one of your other guests is Bethan Screen, then that's a real actor, so...
Name dropping.
I had to shout out to her because she's a proper actor. And I'm just... Yeah. I just pretend to be one.
She's amazing. I, like, look at all this voiceover work because I talk sometimes. And literally, like, half the jobs, I'm like, Bethan could do that. Bethan could do that better. Bethan has done that better. So, Jack... Oh, this one I'm going to give to you. What's been your funniest moment while performing or creating music?
Ooh. Ooh, my funniest moment while performing or creating music. There's been a few. I think my favourite one was laughing so hard at something that happened to a bassist on a gig that I fell off the drum
set. Did you keep playing?
No.
All right. So that would be funny. You fall backwards off it. You're just like...
Were you on a riser?
It was... I can't remember when it was. I think it was a function gig somewhere and it was between tunes.
Oh, that's less funny.
For the love nor money, I can't remember what happened to the bassist, but I just found it so hilarious. I just leant back and was laughing so hard, I then lost balance and just straight onto the floor. Which then, obviously, he then started to laugh.
Oh, man.
And then it just went round in circles. It was very good.
Oh, my God. That's.
It was very, very good.
I've got images of now you playing Billie Jean, the bassist, like... doing a really weird riff instead of the Billie Jean riff, you falling off your chair and still going like from the floor.
I think one of the worst things that's ever happened is having to, I mean, every drummer's worst nightmare, like having to change a bass drum skin or
a
the
pedal.
Snare side head on a snare drum breaks or something like that, because it's, that's always the worst, the snare side head, it's such a rare break.
Mm.
But then having to change, like a top head, you can just undo it, put a new one on, tighten it up, you're good. The bottom head, you've got to take the wires off, got to put it back in, you've got to tune it properly, otherwise it sounds like a foot. Yeah. Your foots make noise. I don't know. There you go. But yeah, and they're just the worst. Or you can just try and power through the gig with just another tom.
Well,
oof, just boomed, boomed.
The worst thing that's ever happened to me on a gig, like, is I was singing September, which I don't enjoy singing that song. I love the song, but I don't enjoy it. It sits in a weird place for me. I hate it. But other people doing it, carry
even
on.
If you change the key,
it's not the key. I just don't like it.
Fair enough.
Changing the key mid-phrase.
Yeah, buddy, yeah.
Do you remember?
No, but I was singing it and I hadn't prepared my breath at all. And it was a really... Oh, there's dogs outside. Hello, puppies. Oh, they're very cute.
Back in the room, Alice. Back in the room.
There was a gig I was on and I'd been like running around. It was a really sort of full-on gig. And I just went into the, hey, God, I can't believe I'm going to do this again. Hey, 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 ah!
Oh, my God.
Because I just ran, I just couldn't hear anything, didn't know what I was doing. I just kind of went, ah!
Oh, I would have paid to have been there.
It's probably been recorded, but the whole band kind of lost it. Because it was just like, what?
Oh man, that's great. That's
it was
great.
Horrible. Because it's not even like, oh, I missed the note a little bit. I missed the note. I think this is why they're still at uni. And oh my God, that's it was fantastic. So embarrassing. You know when you open your eyes, you're like, I can't believe that just happened. Mm. I had no preparation. Spud any funny anecdotes to close off our...
The one that was in my head, it didn't actually happen to me. It happened to... sort of the band as a whole. We were doing a gig in a teepee, you know, those sort of wedding gigs where they're like, we're original and we hired a teepee. Unbeknownst to them, everybody that summer has a teepee. So it was one of those teepee gigs and we were...
Did it rain?
No, we were just...
I've had one of those.
We were forced. It was summertime, so it was fine weather, but like... We were forced
this
to set
England.
Up so close to the wall of the teepee that obviously the slope of the ceiling meant that our drummer couldn't really play properly. So he unzipped the back of the teepee and he just had his head out the back of the teepee. But
yes,
obviously what
Adam.
That means is he can't hear the rest of the band. So, oh no, wait, I think I've we were on in-ears at that point. So it was fine.
Handy.
Was this with Festival Nights?
Yeah, my band Festival Nights.
I've just got this image in my head of you guys playing in a teepee and Callum sat at the back, like you turn around, all you see is just like drum
and it's
kit,
literally we can
torso,
only see him
and then
we can only see
just...
him from the shoulders down. Cuz he's popped his head out the back of the teepee and he's got a cigarette in his mouth or something.
Really?
Smoking outside the teepee while drumming inside the teepee. And
full
he was
Vinny
just
style.
Like, I can't hear what you guys are doing, so I'm just going to play the song and you guys have to stay with me. And it was just like that for the whole gig. And it was fucking hysterical.
Sounds it.
I love
wow.
that man so much. He's so funny.
Wow. Well, that was lovely. Do you have any more questions you want to pose for the list that I'm going to ask or interrogate my other interviewees with?
Yes. I want to ask people, if you could use your art as a superpower, how would you use it?
Oh, there it is. Yes. All right.
I'd play funky beats and force people to dance.
People are walking down
like
the street.
Just,
or
you would just have to dance. Yes.
In a queue for Morrison's or something. You just see like feet twitching like... Not the funk.
And also, I would love... Exactly. I'd love two more things, actually. One, for the musicians that you have on, to estimate to the nearest sort of 100 how many times they think they've played Valerie in their career. And also, I want to pass on the Bohemian Rhapsody challenge, so everybody else has to do it.
I will see what I can do.
I think you should make
it
into a regular challenge. Because if I had to go through that shit, everybody else should have to suffer too.
At the end, I'll do a final episode of like rate the Bohemian Rhapsody challenge and just play all 11 versions.
Oh,
it'll be 12 versions. Play all 12 versions and then we can have a vote.
Oh man, that's great.
The bow rap speed mega mix.
Yeah. Release it, see what happens.
Awkward silence.
We should try and record it at high speed and then slow it down to the original tempo and see how it sounds.
On which note, it has been lovely chatting with both of you. Thank you for taking the time. That's been episode 12 of Where Do We Go From Here. See you later, bye.
Bye. Where do we go?